Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Well, Margaret from the Wednesday group emailed me and said she was interested in this book and thought they might want to study it also. So I think they really enjoyed being here. I know they did, and got a lot out of it, just as we're getting something out of it too. We've gotten to we did the poisonous food, and so we're down to the 30th, about not being predictable. That was our homework, I think, for the week. Not being self-righteous. What Norman Fisher said about this one is stop being a professional self and just be comfortable with being an amateur self. I think that's what this means. It's about not putting on airs. Just meet things directly and guileless, I think is the way Chogyam said, without airs. And with a sense of gratitude and commitment. Don't be so predictable. So he says, if someone becomes a good friend to you and you to them, you maintain that friendship your whole long life. You don't you stay with the connection and cherish it. But if somebody gives you a bad deal, or if you have a lot of conflict with somebody, you shouldn't hold a grudge, constantly hold a grudge against him. You shouldn't always remember that person's badness, his bad dealings with you. So he says his slogan is somewhat confusing, which it certainly is, but the point is to give up altogether your long memory of antagonism, of the bad things that happen. And again, I think it's part of that mind of ours that goes to the negative, tends to go to the negative and remember the bad parts and overlook and disremember the positive things that have happened, especially from someone who disappoints us or who cheats us or mishandles us in some way. So I don't know what this has been for you this week, but maybe something came up. comment?
I was wondering how come he didn't address, because usually the conflict that we usually have, I think it's with people that we know. With somebody, the relationships you've developed and you're close to somebody, they hurt you, you hurt them. That's, I think, where it is as far as I know. And I'm wondering why, or did I miss something in the...
Well, it certainly is about family, about those we know.
Or is it beyond that? Is it about the people that we don't know? I mean, it can apply to anything, but
most especially
the things that hurt is that people that you establish the relationship and a trust.
Yes.
And like, how could you do that? How could I have done that? Versus.
Yes.
So there's that, and the other question is the predictability. Is he trying to say, like, improvise or see something, like, for an example, you meet somebody, you can tell they're difficult people. Do you, like, shower them with whatever compliments, so you're kind of on their good side, so they don't attack you? Is this what he's saying?
No, he's saying just accept people the way they are.
Well, yeah, so no tricks to that one.
No tricks.
So what's don't be predictable? Maybe you could talk more about that. Like, I mean, we do what we know, or we try to learn about how to accept things the way they are. But that's predictable. That's what we're, you know, the good thing to do. I was thinking, don't be predictable, like do something that you haven't studied, or try something new. You don't have to do everything your teacher tells you. Make up your own thing.
Exactly.
That works.
That's what it means. Exactly. Don't just go along with the way you've always gone. Go with what comes out of you. Meet the situation as it is. And don't be a predictable kind of person. Be a new self every time.
So if something worked before, like I brought, you know, my kid to do that, don't keep doing the same thing?
Yeah. Make it new. Good question.
I wonder if it could also mean don't predict. Don't be a person who predicts things. So I had occasion to have to counsel someone who we moved to. This was at work. We moved her to a new supervisor, and she wasn't happy about it. And she was looking at past experience with this person and thinking that it was going to be like that in the future. And she had no choice but to work with this person, so it was a difficult situation. But we finally came around to, well, you're predicting that he's going to be a particular way. You don't really know
mm-hmm.
that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a different circumstance, a different time, a different work situation. So, you know, be open to what could come, as opposed to predicting. This is what that person's like. This is what the situation's like. Just see what happens.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's withholding judgment, you could say, also. Because we don't know. We absolutely don't know. And we're being arrogant to think we know, in fact. know, we're setting ourselves up as what we're not, as we don't know. And with the people that we know the best, we still don't know, even though we think we know. With our family, it's even more so that way, that we think we know. That my dear beloved shouldn't be like that, or shouldn't have done that. And there are many, many judgments that we set up in relationship. And of course, this is the sixth of these sets, and this one is especially focused on our relationship with others, with ourself and with others. So there's in all the different ramifications of that being held up for us. And so that's what this one is also. Wendy?
I'm wondering if maybe sometimes this doesn't stem from our arrogance, but from our self-protectiveness.
You know,
mm-hmm. We have been burnt once and we don't want to get burnt again.
Well, then the question is, what gets burnt?
Our feelings.
What's that?
Our emotions.
Well, it's our sense of self. It's our sense that there's something here that can be hurt. Even though, if you really
yes.
look at it, nothing's really happening.
We can't be hurt.
We can if we choose to be. If we look deeply into what's happening, we have to see that nothing is happening. It's all happening on the inside. Thought process of us. It's a judgment that we make that it's not a good thing for us. And so it's an extra step. There's just the situation, and then there's the judgment made about the situation, and then the decision to, because of the judgment that this isn't correct, or this is not good for me, then the hurt part comes. So it's two extra steps beyond what actually is happening.
I don't think you go through all those steps when it happens.
No.
It's
you don't notice you're doing it, but...
I think it's a survival mechanism. I don't think that we have a whole lot of control over it.
Well, it's something to look into.
It comes from living in your mind again. If you live in the moment, then you're less attached.
Yes.
It doesn't hurt quite so much.
Yes.
But it takes a long time to disentangle oneself.
It takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of looking. really trying to understand the whole thing as it's happening. And it's happening in us. It's not coming from anywhere else. It's coming from inside. And it's a dream.
I just wanted to throw in that I found it an interesting practice at a certain point in my life to just, when there was a particular person in my life that I tried this with, and to recognize that when she was talking to me, that it was that her mouth was making noises. And she was, I was looking at it as I was attempting to look at it as a physical phenomenon, not a, you know, an emotional attack or a criticism or whatever, all that I of course always tend to do, but just to say it was her mouth flapping, and I thought that was sort of, I actually was able to practice doing that one time when there was something going on that was just mildly annoying. It wasn't a full-on personal attack of any kind. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, well, her mouth is, she's opening her mouth and she's making noises. It doesn't need to be my problem. And I can't do that very often. And I can't do it when somebody has already kind of started pushing my buttons. It's sort of too late.
Well, that's the study, is to find out where our buttons are and how easily we can get hooked, where mm-hmm. the hook happens.
And
the children talks about it in those terms. I think that's so helpful. That
the difficult people. That
yes.
She says they're not really, it's not really fair to call them difficult, it's that we have difficulties.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't know how to be with them
mm-hmm.
in just the way that we talk about it, without to be with all things. But there's some things that are harder to be with than others.
Really?
And mouths flat in the wrong way, or we can't deal with it. That's lovely. We should remember that.
If only I could, when I really did. Yeah.
Karen?
I'm having that kind of a sweet circular time with this particular lesson this time, because what came up was a memory of a yoga teacher, who I had a very dramatic breakup with, and one of our arguments was I always felt like he wanted us to put our trust in him more than ourselves, and I don't know how we were actually articulating this, but he was pointing out, where do you feel this instinct? You know, he was trying to get me to identify, and I'm like, well, it's a gut feeling. And what I realized tonight, I mean, I knew it at the time too, that there was a truth to what he was pointing out, that we have an instinctual reaction to whatever it is, but it's, and we sort of, it's familiar, so we feel that it's truth or whatever, but it really is just a learned habitual response that needs to be examined like everything else. But it's true that I follow these gut instincts when they're just habitual habits or fears, like, oh, that kind of person, I don't like those kind of people, or, you know, they hurt me once. cancer. You know, it's like an animal that's been beat up a few times, and it's not really a very clear way to progress. So I think in this argument, I think we're both right. I shouldn't necessarily trust him more than myself, but what it is that I'm trusting in myself needed to be looked at.
Yeah, that's what Wendy was saying too.
Right, that's why that makes sense to me. Yeah.
And it's so easy to feel vulnerable in that way. But it's a sign also. You know, we're feeling it. It's a sign from heaven, you could say. Oh, here it is again. You've been here before. It all keeps happening. You know, and it's becoming familiar with ourself and with our knowing and our not knowing. It isn't that we're trying to improve exactly. It's that we become more familiar with and more forgiving of ourself and others. Allowing it to be the way it is. And even appreciating the flapping mouths. Finding the reasons for what's happening, even to explore why somebody is the way they are. I think that too is very helpful. Norman talks about that in terms of this one also. We think we understand other people, and then when they hurt us, our misunderstanding of them is a big part of our pain, because we think they should be different from that. Raising children is like that. It's really... raising three children, and each one was so different, and each one I would think shouldn't be like that. Of course, each one was just like that. And really, we have very little to say about it in the end, except to just marvel at what came out, how it all developed. Often not at all in the way we imagined. So number 31, which is our homework for next week, is not to malign others. You said you would like to put people in the wrong by saying disparaging things. Even pleasantly coating what you say with sugar and ice cream underneath, you're trying to put people down. So he says, disparaging people is based on showing off your own virtue. That, I think, is too true. Painfully true. That begin to criticize others because it makes us feel a little more superior, perhaps. A little better off. smarter. Norman tells a story about around this, about his mother telling him just to be nice to people. He was scared to go to a new school, and she said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of other people." He said, "You'll be okay if you just be nice to people and just don't say anything mean to them." And he went to the school, and he said people just talked sarcastically and mean and snarky about each other all the time, and he never did because his mother told him not to. And he said at the end of the year he was surprised to realize that people liked him, and it was because he was nice. He was just nice to them. And I think that's all this is. It's just the simplest thing of not flapping your mouth in a way that tries to put oneself in a superior position and put other people down. Saying that other person is stupid and I'm better than she is. Our practice is really about developing humility over and over again, realizing when we do this, which we do, and remembering that there really is no way to measure oneself against anybody, and that by itself is a mistake. Measuring ourselves against somebody else and feeling either superior to them or inferior. Feeling creepy crawling around somebody one feels is better. That's the same kind of thing. When the mind is virtuous, the tongue can be trusted. With an afflicted mind, the tongue can do a lot of damage. And I think it's Wallace who said, "Many truths don't need mentioning, and certainly not with contempt or disdain." There's no need to speak in that way. It's funny to think, really. There's really never a need to talk that way. But just like gossip and all the other things we do with our mouth, we do a lot of things that are damaging, actually. Are not helpful. And our bodhisattva practice is about doing no harm. So this is a time to watch our mouth and our mind and see how it is. Just be curious. And maybe learn something. Good question? asking me?
Lots of questions. I wish there was like, in math, they present an equation and then they give you many examples to practice it. This is like so general, it's like you can't even hold it. It's like I wish they gave an example, for instance, you run into somebody and they do that, what would be a good thing to do, A, B, C, D? It just seems like we try to sit with it, that's the thing to do. And we're all different. We all deal with things differently. I just know how to deal with the way I know. I have a temper, so when somebody bothers me, okay, don't say anything, and then over here I blow up. So it's like, I'm going to stress something new. Can you deal with it right away? The shelf in the pantry is starting to do this. Do I fix it before it's completely broken, or do I just wait for it to fix it well at the end? That's Rodney's approach. Honey, this thing is going to break. But that's okay. It's like, why don't we fix it now? Oh, we'll fix it when it's broken. We'll really fix it. So it's like, how do you deal with each one? It's like a new thing with me. Why? Because I've noticed that I wait. Yeah, I don't blow up right away. Wait and think about it. Sit with it. That sitting with it, sometimes it just
makes
almost
it more.
Blood pressure goes up as we get older, It's like, I wish there was a guidebook, and then at the end of the book there's answers.
Yes, yeah, translations and vocabulary and everything, so we know exactly what to do. No. But that's the point, is that each one is different. And so getting to know yourself first is very important, and then that leads immediately to getting to know who's right next to you. And then the one who's next to that one, and farther and farther out.
Kind of like when you're driving, you're not just looking at the road. You've got to look at the cars here.
Yes. But make sure that you're right there.
Mm.
And you take care of yourself first. And as a driver, you certainly do that. Make sure that you can see that you're not sick, that you're not throwing up, you can drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, once you're driving safely, then you can begin to attend to the rest of the picture. But you start with the details, the particulars. So actually waiting to blow up probably isn't the best way. It might be kind of painful sometimes. Wait until you put the last tin can on, a can of beans on the shelf, and then it falls apart. Good metaphor. Excellent.
Should blow up right away so you can do it
wrong. Exactly right.
Yes.
Or I should learn to fix it myself.
There you are.
Well, it's 8:00. We have things to know about.
Yes. This is Saturday. We have a full day meditation from 9 to 4 with a 1 hour break, 12 to 1 for lunch. Bring your own lunch. And there's some information on the bulletin board about the Buddhist Peace Fellowship walk for September, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is the following week. And it's an interfaith walk. And then tonight we're having a business meeting, and everyone's welcome to come. We're all Sangha members, important in making decisions. We will probably start as soon as we get this room back together, and continue for about an hour. We are very good about finishing on time. We do need somebody to open Saturday. Yeah, I think we are okay with Joanne's. Ellie's volunteered. Marie's volunteered.
And Bob said he'll come early to move chairs, but he needs help with the other stuff to open.
Oh, he's not going to Japan.
No, I'm going. I know he's working. So.
I see. Yeah. So he's volunteering. Wow, how sweet.
But he doesn't know how to do
it. Sure. I can be here early and supervise.
Yeah.
Good.
That's wonderful.
Thank you. Yes. And you're leaving very, very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, be safe.